Hello and welcome. I am Dr. Lara May, a clinical pharmacist specializing in functional medicine, as well as a certified yoga teacher and Reiki master. I run a truly integrative health coaching practice, encompassing functional medicine lab testing, yoga and meditation, and a sprinkling of Reiki energy medicine. Join me here on Light Body Radio to break through your health plateau and come into alignment with your natural vitality. Hello and welcome to Light Body Radio. I am your host, Dr. Lara May, and today I have with me Greg Stern. He is the owner of From the Ground Up Physiotherapy, and he helps people get to the root cause of their pain by teaching them to move their entire body in new ways to wake up dormant muscles and movement patterns rather than solely focusing on the site of exactly where the pain is. He teaches the body to work as a whole to finally give the side of pain a chance to recover. And I am super excited to have him here with me. So I'm just going to stop right there with the introduction and let him jump in and tell you his story. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
So what's brought you to your work and why are you so passionate about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think like many physiotherapists out there, I came to this field out of necessity. And I actually had hurt my ankle many, many years ago. So going on almost my 10-year anniversary of hurting my ankle, a routine ankle sprain playing flag football. And what ensued, I did not expect. So I've hurt myself many, many times throughout my life. I had broke bones. I had, you know, lacerations. I was always getting into trouble being a wild little guy. But I would trade all of that. I wouldn't trade any of that for a chronic pain. And that's kind of what happened is that I sprained my ankle playing football. And after the season ended, it just wasn't getting better and it wasn't getting better. And I, you know, I started going to physical therapy myself. You know, my mom is a physiotherapist herself. My dad's a doctor. So I've always been surrounded by, you know, medical professionals and they were kind of guiding me along the way. Like, what should I be doing? So I was going to a physio, I was going to a podiatrist, I was trying to figure out what was going on and why I wasn't getting better. And everything I was doing wasn't working. So fast forward 2.5 years later, still in constant buzzing pain, I couldn't stand barefoot for more than a few seconds. My body started breaking down. Like anything I would try to do, I would suffer the consequences. I started developing hip pain and back pain. Eventually I ended up getting surgery on my foot, but that just intensified everything because I further compensated even more. Now I started developing chronic hip pain, back pain that was really not even there prior to the surgery. And it was only until I took a deep dive to really understand like what the physios are telling me is not working, what other people are telling me is not working. Like, what do I need to do to get better? Because I was determined not to let that be like my future. And I started to learn from, you know, very innovative therapists from like the movement industry, from physiotherapy industry, just seeking outside the confines of, you know, what I was being told. And slowly but surely, I started to make progress on my own issues. And at the time, you know, I was thinking about going to medical school. And because I was so numbed out to life, because my pain was just there 24/7, and you know, I was really dealing with a lot of, you know, mental stress from everything that was going on, I decided to go into the physical therapy route. But that physical therapy route, I was learning the exact same things that the physios were giving me as treatment. So unfortunately, a lot of what we learn in school is this isolated approach. And it was only until I took this integrative approach that really looked at how do we connect the foot to the knee, to the hip, you know, the back, everything to work together, did I start to make progress. And, you know, now going many years later, I have no more pain, very fortunate. And not only that, but I could do things to my body that I couldn't even do before. So I go slacklining so I could walk across trees in a little tiny, you know, little rope, we'll call it. I go hiking barefoot. I'm barefoot 24/7 in my clinic. You know, the name of my clinic is From the Ground Up. It's all about how our feet affect the rest of the body. And now I'm helping people that have dealt with years and years of chronic pain themselves, and they've been to the other classic physiotherapy clinics that are doing the same kind of treatment that I received years ago. And now they're getting back to doing the things they love because I'm taking a more holistic, full body approach that actually challenges people's nervous system and makes permanent long-term changes rather than the short-term solutions that most people are offered, which is kind of isolation, a lot of manual therapy. So that's a little nutshell of my story.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels like common sense, even though that's not how, like you said, like the practitioners are trained. But yeah, you have one injury and then your whole body compensates for it. Yeah. And then those compensations a lot of times become your new normal of like how you carry yourself and that sort of thing. And I think so much of it is unconscious. Like we don't realize that that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about where it starts. So from the ground up. So let's talk about why the feet are so important.
Yeah, 100%. So a quarter of our bones of our body are below our ankles. Okay. So we got 26 bones per foot. That's 52 bones. There's 206 bones in the entire body, okay? So there's such complicated structures, and they've adapted over time to be this masterpiece of art that's supposed to basically... Here's the big kicker about our feet. The biggest thing that most people get wrong. Our feet are supposed to flatten. Let me repeat that, because everyone hears the word flat and feet, and they think that's bad. Part of the foot's gait cycle. So part of when we walk, our heel strikes the ground, then basically what happens is the weight transfers over the middle of the foot, and that mid arch area is supposed to go down and widen and flatten and spread and kind of absorb the impact of the ground. And then like a trampoline, so it goes down and then goes up and becomes rigid again to propel us forward. So we have 26 bones, 33 joints that are supposed to be mobile and adaptive to the ground and then become very stiff to propel us forward. And what happens is inside of the footwear that we're using, we don't allow our feet to move at all. We think a good shoe equals motion control, stability, arch support, like all the things that we're told, all the bells and whistles that we've been told to believe are good for our feet have actually gone, it's a failed experiment. And it just continues to be perpetuated over and over again because we keep doubling down on this idea of using all these technologies. So our feet are a sensor that are supposed to feel the ground, but then we wear shoes that are very cushioned. Like think about a Hoka shoe or a Nike Air Max or you name your, you know, whatever gel shock technology or foam and all these, you know, feels like I'm walking on a cloud. But basically we're disconnecting our feet, which have as many nerve endings as our hands. And our hands are being constantly used to for fine motor, to feel, to touch, to engage with our environment, while our feet are the only thing that touch the ground. But yet now we distance ourselves. We put them into very tight, tapered toe box shoes. So everyone can appreciate that a high-heeled shoe is a triangle, and our feet don't fit inside of the triangle. But yes, even, even inside of an ASICS, a New Balance, a Nike, the widest part of every single shoe that's on the market today, except for the ones that I know about and that the very fringe people know about, unfortunately, is they're wide of the ball of the foot and then they taper in slightly. So instead of your toes being spread out maximally, they start to come in towards each other. So bunions, Morton's neuroma, just weak, stiff, painful feet at the end of the day are not because your feet are flawed, but because you're putting them inside of something that compresses them and therefore they can't function the way that, you know, nature designed them to. So of course, if we build a building on sand, you know, we're not in a good shape, and that won't survive an earthquake. And it's the same thing with our bodies, is that if our feet are weak, stiff, painful, and they're not operating optimally, then, you know, knee issues, back issues will ensue for sure.
So I just myself recently transitioned from I won't say the brand, but a very well-known brand. Let's say a Salomon. I used to be a Salomon hiker, runner person. But I recently transitioned over to Ultra.
Yes.
And fantastic. Yeah. They're known for their wide toe box.
Yeah.
And it's
the flexibility as well.
Yeah. And the zero drop. So, yeah. But I felt my body, adjusting the first couple of runs. my feet were sore. So, but I'm also one of those people that I actually will roll my feet out, like on a, yep. I have a rumble roller. Some people use like lacrosse balls and stuff, just to prevent, because I'm notoriously not a happy runner, although I've converted myself. And so I integrated all these things to help myself enjoy it more.
Yeah, for sure. And part of it is just wearing something, and you're giving your foot an environment where it can function the way it's supposed to. The thing is, if it's squished up and doesn't have a flat heel to toe kind of base, then your foot is already losing, so to say, you know? Yeah. And so an Ultra or plenty of other brands out there provide the foot an environment where it could flatten, it could widen, it could spread, it's just not crammed into the toes. It's super simple. Like, imagine tying a rubber band around your fingers all day. You're not going to be able to type, text, and use your hands away. Well, it's the same thing that's going on our feet.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And again, something I think that a lot of us are very disconnected from. Wow. Ironically enough, even though they're still connected to us.
Yes.
So, you know, and just one more thing about feet before we move on to some of the other things that I want to talk about with you today. It's interesting to me too, that with, you know, I work a lot with diabetic patients, both in my functional medicine practice and in the Western medicine hospital environment that I'm still in. And mm-hmm. a lot of times we'll put, you know, elderly diabetic patients in these big, huge orthotic shoes. Yeah. And it's like, well, kind of no wonder that they start falling, because they already can't feel their feet. And we put them in shoes that are like huge in the sole, and, you know, more disconnects them even more.
Yeah. So I had a client that was dealing with 3 years of foot numbness, and she went to neurologists and doctors, and she went to a podiatrist, and the podiatrist said, go back to neurologists, and neurologists and the podiatrist. And it's like, they didn't know what they were to do. And mm-hmm. all I had her do was start to be more barefoot. I got her to stand on an acupressure mat. So it's like a little spiky mat. And I said, go into your backyard every day. And within 3 weeks, no more numbness. After 3 years. So we're looking for a complicated solution. We're scanning and doing, like, I don't know what they were, I can't remember the names of the tests, but, you know, all sorts of pinprick tests and seeing, can you feel this? Can you feel this? And so it's like, well, if your feet are super sensitized, or they're just like, they're not feeling the ground, we need to desensitize the feet to stimulation. Like, if you were in a move, let's say I put a blindfold on you and I said, okay, I want you to keep this blindfold on for the next 5 years. So are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry, my camera just went out, but I'm still here.
Keep going. Okay. Yeah. So basically, if I was in a blindfold for 5 years and all of a sudden I took the blindfold off, you know, I would be so intense, like the light would be so crazy. And that's kind of what happens to our feet. Well, in this case with diabetics, it's actually the exact opposite. They're so numb to it. But the point to make is that our feet need stimulation. It's the use it or lose it principle, that our feet need to have texture stimulation, because that's what they were designed to. They always used to be barefoot. And the idea of a shoe is protection. Like, so you have a thin layer of something to protect you, but you're not wearing 4 inches of cushioning. So for anyone that's experiencing like numbness, or you've been diagnosed with neuropathy, slowly but surely, if you just go outside and start to go barefoot, or check out like an acupressure mat online and start to use that, like, you'll be super surprised by, wow, my feet are starting to respond. I could start to feel them more. And it's really cool, because in our feet and our brain, there should be like a highway of connection between them. But if we literally cut that off, well, now like we start to feel off balance, higher likelihood of falls, just in general tension of our body. Because if our body doesn't feel our ground, what is it going to do? Everything is going to seize up to prevent ourselves from falling over. So a huge amount of resources in our brain are dedicated towards our feet and our hands. And so it's time to start meeting your feet again.
So it's really just about waking up all those nerve endings and getting them talking. Okay. Yeah. Love it. Awesome. Okay. So there was something in your talking points that you sent me that really struck me as interesting. And so I want to hear more about this. So why do you insist that your clients slouch when everyone else says to stand up straight? What's that all about?
So this is best visualized with an example, okay? So I just want you to take your hands and squeeze them as hard as you can for like 5-10 seconds. You're going to squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. Okay, now I want you to do this for the next 12 hours. Okay? Mm-hmm. I don't think so, right? Mm-hmm. So now let's go ahead and go into the best posture that our mom, dad, grandparents, society, and teachers told us to sit up straight, to stand up straight, push your chest forward, shoulders down and back, and now feel your lower back. You're probably going to feel those muscles squeezing, okay? But if your hands don't want to squeeze for more than a few seconds, why does your lower back want to squeeze for more than a few seconds? And if we teleport ourselves to many, many Asian countries around the world, I was in India 10 years ago, and I saw 80-year-olds able to do a nice deep squat, like full, you know, we'll call it astograph squat. They call it the low back is rounded and relaxed. Okay. That's the natural resting posture of human beings. So for hundreds of thousands of years, we would chill around a campfire. We'd be huddled on the floor. Our backs would be rounded while we engage with the ground. But then all of a sudden we sit in a chair and we forget that and we have to push ourselves forward. And so what we're doing is we're engaging our low back all the time. But we should be taking that natural resting posture of a squat. And when I sit, kind of find the back of your butt, allow your ribs to fall down, you know, breathe out and let your ribs come down. Because I have so many clients that have very, very stiff rib cages because they're always in this extended posture with their chest popping out. And so a lot of the exercises that I show people is I actually teach them how to get slouchy. And then let's say I ask them to pick something off the floor. They're not allowed to let their nipple line pop up to the sky, which is how most people want to lift up. They keep their back straight. And so they're using the low back as a primary mover. But I get people doing like slouchy squats or slouchy hinges where they bend over. And I teach them in a very deliberate way. But all of a sudden what happens is their legs start to quiver. Because their nervous system is not used to loading their legs. They're used to using their lower back 24/7. And so now their legs start shaking and it's a redistribution of force into the proper areas rather than the back taking on all that load. So when you talk about in my bio, this idea, my approach is about the entire body. And that comes from, again, deliberate cues and getting people to find their stack or getting their body more over their foot instead of behind their foot. Which is something we could definitely touch on. But the idea is that when I could start to get everything to work together and the back not working, because most people's backs are not weak. They're just constantly on. And we need to shut that off and go, hello, legs, you know, hello, feet, wake up for me. And all of a sudden, pain goes away very quickly when we could start to, you know, reteach the movement patterns that were more innately program into our body, and then we've kind of forgotten them by kind of insisting that we're always squeezed and upright, which is not how good athletes move. You know, I got a quote with Conor McGregor behind me. Look how a fighter moves. Are they upright with their chest up? Or are they more kind of dancing with a more relaxed spine? And you'll look at that with so many athletic movements. We're too obsessed with this idea that our upper back should never round. They should be rounded. Like the natural shape of the spine is to be rounded. And when we force ourselves to always be upright, then, you know, we're always in this constant engagement. And that's why a lot of people are just dealing with low back pain all the time. And it's the number one thing I see in my clinic every day.
That's so interesting too, because I'm thinking about in the context of when, you know, people say like to prevent injury when you lift something heavy, like lift with your legs, not your back.
Yes.
But I'm thinking of it too, and because you know you see this a lot, like when like you do the OSHA trainings, even in those trainings, the person's back is straight, and so it shows that person with a straight back, like you know squatting or you know maybe like doing more of almost like a deadlift, you know, engaging those hamstrings and glutes if people are paying attention.
Yeah,
but still with that straight back, so that's really interesting. So then. Then where does the, you know, because I hear a lot too that, you know, back pain is associated with a quote unquote weak core. Is that a misnomer? You're making a face.
It's just like, So let's touch on the point of picking something up off the floor. Yes, I agree. When you bend down, you pick something up the floor, your legs should bend. But here's the thing. So imagine, I mean, I guess we're not on visual right now, so I'll do my best to just describe this. Obviously, movements are just easier to watch. And, you know, people, I have lots of YouTube videos showing all this. But the idea being, when you stand up, what, let's say someone went to touch their toes, okay? And now the moment they stand up, what happens is their knees snap back. Okay. So their knees go straight. And if your legs are straight, so even though like, all right, I'm about to pick up this heavy piece of furniture. Okay. And my knees are bent, but then as I pick it up, your knees do not stay bent. They start to straighten out because we don't know how to push through the foot. If we push through the foot and the knee stays forward, then the hip will come forward. But if what happens is if I basically don't know how to do that, my knee snaps back or starts to straighten out. And then how do I finish if I don't have a leg? My nipple line lifts up and I finish all through my lower back. So the key thing is, yes, you bend your knees to pick up something off the floor, but the knee needs to stay bent through the movement and so that the hip could travel forward. I don't know if you could visualize that.
Yeah, I'm a kettlebeller, so I'm envisioning that sort of like how a kettlebell swing went, like where your hips
basically delay
the knee
from extending backwards. That's the key thing. So many times people, imagine you're just about to stand up off a chair. And the moment you stand up off the chair, the knees immediately start to straighten out. But instead, keeping your knees forward for longer, now my hips travel forward rather than knee snap, then finish with my back. And so whether or not the back is straight or rounded is not as important as the knee. If you could keep your knee forward, this is literally the essence of everything I could teach someone is like, and what will start to happen if you do this correctly is you're going to feel your lower calf muscle burning like crazy. And this might sound very weird, but the most important muscle to prevent back issues is your calf. No one will tell you that except for my mentors. Because if your lower calf is strong, it keeps the knee in the right position. And then the leg could do its job properly without the back taking on all the load. Yeah, it's a different way of reframing.
That's really interesting too, because my husband and I are training for an elk hunt that we're going on in a few weeks. So with that comes rucking, you know, carrying heavy weight, you know, just walking with heavy weight.
Sure.
But we live in the Sierras, so we're going up and down mountains with the heavy weight too. So how does that also work? So let's say, because when you're hiking, you're actually spending the majority of time on one leg or the other. You're not, you know, like doing hops up the mountain with two legs at a time, right? So does that hip motion also translate to, let's say, like a step up or even like a forward lunge?
Everything, honestly, everything. But like, one of the key principles that I teach people, so the stack is, imagine you're a runner, okay? So picture that you have 1 foot forward and the other leg, I don't want super far behind, I want it very close, okay? So like you're pretty in a split stance with the back leg close. Now, what I'm going to invite people to do is just picture this. If you were about to start a race, would you be starting leaning back or leaning forward?
Leaning forward.
Exactly. So we know we're leaning forward, but the other idea is that I'm going to bend my front knee and I'm going to lean my weight forward to the point where my front heel feels like it's about to come off, but doesn't come off. So basically, I'm just translating my entire body, my center mass forward in space so that the weight is now over my midfoot and my forefoot. And all of a sudden the calf kicks on. And now we're in a very interesting position for the body to like go, whoa, this is new for me. And it's new for every client that I've ever shown it to. They're like, they already feel like it's a workout just being in that position. So now when you go down and you squat or you do anything, it's about learning to be in these positions. So yeah, what I teach people all the time is that we're not symmetrical beings and everyone goes into the gym and all they're doing is squats, deadlifts, things that are two legs at a time. But it's way more important to train unilaterally, i.e. 1 foot forward or the other foot forward, and master your left foot and your right foot, because none of us is symmetrical. We've had issues on one side or the other that cause us to not load equally. And we need to get better at these, like just existing over our left and our right, because gait, i.e. walking, hiking, is this idea of left foot, right foot, you know? So we want to just get like all my exercises basically mimic walking, and I exaggerate the positions of walking. And it's like the software of the body that's already installed into us. And I'm just mimicking those positions, and really good things happen to the body because we're just kind of working on what we already know how to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting. Oh, this is fascinating. Okay. So what about the rib cage then? So we've talked about knees, hips, even the chest, you know, the nipple line, the chest up here.
Yeah.
What about rib cage?
Well, the thing is, imagine you were walking on the street, okay? And I was like hiding behind a corner and I just went, boo. What's going to happen to your body? is it going to look relaxed, or is the chest going to pop up and we're going to be in that same type of posture, right?
Yeah.
Now, most people have good amounts of stress in their life, right? And we don't have things to kind of down-regulate. And so when you're stressed, what do most people say? Take a deep breath. You go, and guess what that does? It really, again, we're all about this push forward. So imagine this idea that I'm in a scared state. We'll call that an inhaled state, or when I take a deep breath, I'm like nice and puffed up, right? But the problem is, if we're always stressed and we're always taking deep breaths and we're breathing a bit more noisy than we should, we're basically inflating our rib cage. And that, again, will push our whole body forward. What I'm a huge proponent of is teaching the exhale. And I'm not going to go as long as I can go, but basically the idea of exhaling, and allowing the ribs to kind of give you a hug and close down. Because when they close down in front, what is it doing in the back? It's actually learning to relax that low back. Because when I'm in that chronic state of, you know, pushed rib cage forward, and now I exhale and relax, that's going back into that kind of slouchy position. So a lot of rib cage mobility is about, like, look, you have a low back and your ribs are all connected, right? So our ribs should be able to move with swagger. They should be. But if we're just being jammed forward, well, all the vertebrae in the back are quite compressed. And now you don't have much room to, like, wiggle room. So you go and reach outside your comfort zone, you tweak your back. But if you exist where your rib cage is in a more relaxed position to begin with, then you have more room to, you know, bend and twist and move in the way you want to move. So most of my clients are starting with breathing, like whether they have a foot issue or a shoulder issue, you know, the rib cage is our chastity. It's the center of our body. And so that needs to become more mobile so that we could tap into some things. And also a huge benefit is when we exhale long, our nervous system starts to calm down. So I'm sure you know this, right? And so, like, I'll have clients that just start yawning on me like crazy. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm being so rude. I'm like, no, you're doing great. It's like,
that, you know, means it's working.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they start to produce more saliva, their body more relaxes more. So I encourage people to do this before bed. It's like the long exhale. But then when you breathe in, it's not sniffing, it's quiet inhales, right? So if you see an Olympian athlete walk up the stairs versus someone who's quite overweight, obviously one's going to be making a lot more noise. So in your day-to-day life, pay attention to your breathing. Are you always loud and noisy when you breathe, or are you more quiet and slowing down the air through your nostrils as you inhale? And then, you know, just for the purpose of these exercises, I get people to exhale through their mouth, or even take a straw or a balloon, and that really helps to prolong their exhale so their ribs come down and their low back can start to relax.
Mm-hmm. I love that you include breath work, obviously for the anatomical reasons, but
it's a double-edged sword. It does both. Yeah.
Yeah, but in the best way possible.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. Exactly.
Because, you know, of course, what comes along with injury and pain is inflammation, right? And so helping people turn that nervous system down is fantastic. And I'm sure that's part of your whole body, whole system approach.
100%. The rib cage is so, so key. And it's a very stiff for so many people. Yeah.
Are there other whole body, whole system approach aspects that we haven't talked about yet in terms of your approach?
I mean, we could get nerdy and you could be like, well, your eyes and your inner ear play a big role as well. Cause you know, our eyes are a sensor. And so there's some interesting training you could do around that, and your inner ear canals, right? That's your vestibular system. That's like your balance system. So, I mean, your eyes, your inner ear, your feet, your breath, that covers a lot of it. And then, you know, coordinated movements. Again, all this is very much easier to show than to tell, but
don't worry.
No. I mean, a big thing is your feet. So, one question you had asked me is about your core, right? So a lot of people weak core and low back. And so all they're doing is, you know, they're given dead bugs or bird dogs, all different core exercises on the floor. But being on the floor is not the same thing as being upright against gravity. And so a lot, like, I'm not giving people, like, hoping that doing a plank is going to translate to standing, because it doesn't. Like, if you want to get better at being in standing, you need to mimic the demands of what you're trying to be better at, which is stand. and then do things around that. So I'm not finding that, like, I don't do core exercises, so to say. Like, I do, but like that's not what gets people out of back pain. It's really not. It's just making their a very important point to make here is in the gym, most people hear the word squeeze. Squeeze their core, squeeze their glutes, squeeze, right? Now, if I wanted to take a rubber band, I'm going to be mean to you for a second, and I'm going to take it and I'm going to flick it at your face, okay? Theoretically, we'll hit my own computer screen, okay? But am I going to take that rubber band and squeeze it together, or am I going to lengthen it?
Lengthen,
right? So that's the way our muscles work. We want to lengthen them and then shorten them, lengthen and shorten. But we have a yoga world that just lengthen. And then we have a gym world, squeeze. But what our muscles actually want to do is to be taken through their full range of motion. So they go from lengthened positions to shortened positions. So imagine you walk on your left side. So those muscles get lengthened. Whoa. And poof, they push us off to the next step. And so that's kind of the way I coach movements, is I get people in these stacked positions and then I lengthen their body in 3D to kind of facilitate like patterns of muscles to work together. And the movements that I'd show my clients, like, why does this simple little movement look so hard? But then like shake my body or whatever. And it's just, you know, it's unique in the sense that it does a lot. It could be very effective very quickly when coached correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So true. And I think the other thing too, that I really like about your approach, which is why I wanted to have you on the show, is that you sort of require or encourage, you know, your clients' active participation. It's not, it's not passive. It's not, you know, perpetuating victim mentality. It's not like, hi, you know, fix me now.
Because I hear that all the time. You know, my clients will come in and I always ask the question, you know, if like, you know, if I've got a magic wand, what's your main goal for coming to see me? And they're like, fix me or whatever. And it's like, why my treatment for myself didn't work, and why if you're listening and you're still struggling with the pains that are just, and so frustrating, because you're like, I've tried this person and that person and this injection and that, you know, name your modality, your active release therapy, my chiropractor adjustments, that's on a table. And while that feels good, and I receive lots of hands-on therapy and it feels good, your nervous system will not integrate the work of someone else imposing their will on your body. And so we're hoping that the magic hands or that one final crack into place will fix your body. But now you stand up and you go back to the same movement patterns that got you into trouble in the first place. And so the merry-go-round wheel treatment is, no matter who you go to claiming that they have the best type of technique for you, is unless your therapy is mainly movement. Let's say I see a client for, I used to have an hour long treatment. Now I have 45 minutes because I find people are toast after like what I'm doing. 40 of the 45 minutes is movement. Maybe 5 minutes, I'll do a bit of hands-on therapy, sometimes not even, or most of the time not even, to be honest. And it's just, you know, people don't like a lot of physical therapy. Like in school, we're like, okay, so we're basically just glorified personal trainers. Well, if you're a good personal trainer, you're better than most physios today, in my opinion, because that most physios just take this very like isolated approach. And so the whole idea is you need to find a practitioner that's going to empower you to take responsibility for your health. It's not, I'm going to do the work for you. I would, you know, like it would be nice if that would be the case, but it's not the case. But the cool thing is now you start to get empowered. Whoa, that exercise is tough, but I work on it. And all of a sudden, you start to like find untapped potential of your body and you get excited and you move through, you know, up the ladder of continuing to progress you to more and more challenging things.
So what I want to take this in sort of like a selfish direction, but now I'm just curious. So everything starts with the feet. Then where do shoulder injuries and healing from injuries that come in? So how does that work?
Okay. So we've been told good posture means shoulders down and back, right? And I'm going to say, you know, nice to meet you. And I'm going to keep my shoulder down and back. You're like, why is that guy not putting his arm forward? And this is an exaggerated example to understand that our shoulders are connected. So the arm bone is connected to our scapula, our shoulder blade. And what happens is our scapulas are not very good at gliding around the rib cage because we've taught to pin it back. And so many of the exercises that we do in the gym, we make sure that we keep good posture. And again, good posture is in quotation marks now, because it's not actually good posture. It's stiff, intense posture, rigid posture. And so if I could teach my shoulder blades to move around my rib cage to facilitate length through the sides of my body by allowing movement to take place, instead of keeping things isolated, I'm allowing my ribs to move, my shoulder girdle to glide and move on a rib cage. Now, all of a sudden, instead of all the work being done at the ball in the socket, the ball in the socket moves with the shoulder blade, and now it's no longer in pain. And again, very quick results with people. If we just, instead of classic banded shoulder exercises, which most people are given, or sticks, or, you know, different things that people are handed, if we focus on the rib cage and the shoulder blade and their relationship and getting the shoulder blade to move well, this guy can finally relax.
Okay. How do we do that? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, part of it would be like, you know, doing like a door frame stretch where you go and you really allow the scapula to move. Again, head over to my YouTube channel. You know, we could connect and I'll show over a couple of different exercises that would work your way. Again, a lot of it is about like understanding that, you know, I have this little test for people. So where I want you to like put your arm out in front of you. Okay. Let's give this. Now keep your elbow bent. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to put my hand like 5 inches in front of your hand. Okay. So you're going to try to touch my hand, but when you touch my hand, you're not allowed to straighten out your elbow and you're not allowed to lean your body forward. So what I would like to see, let's just see if you could do that. So try exactly. Keep going. So like, imagine that there's a hole in your armpit being created. Do not straighten out your elbow. Okay, so it's not coming from your elbow straining. It's learning to get the scapula. And now turn your chest toward the opposite side of that arm. So let's say you're reaching your right arm. I want you to let your chest turn to the left. So reach.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Imagine that you're ideally what we're aiming to feel is a shoulder blade stretch, something at the back of the rib cage open up. So that I'm kind of doing that. Yeah, that's it. And do you feel anything back there? I know it's a kind of.
Yeah. Well, and like what I'm thinking too is maybe because I'm a yogi also, and I used to have a lot of range of motion in my shoulders that since I injured this right one, I don't have anymore. And so I'm wondering, do I need to spend more time in like almost like that, like a pressure, like acupressure almost. So like to release that around
you
that
can,
area.
But it's honestly these move, like we just like,
it's the movement.
I don't spend that much time like poking at someone. Again, I could poke and then do the exercise, poke, do the exercise. But it's more about re-educating your brain to understand that when you use your shoulder, your scapula should also be moving. The shoulder blade should come around.
Okay.
So there's tons of exercises that I go through with people, and they're like, holy crap, I feel like, you know, the whole idea is that we're trying to get the shoulder blades to move away from the midline of the spine rather than pinning them together. And that all of a sudden creates a lot of, you know, stretching in the back area between the shoulder blade and the spine. And they're like, oh my God, that feels intense. It's because like they're always like, when people are feeling sore, they just want to keep squeezing back instead of actually allowing shoulder blade to coming forward.
Yeah. So how much also does the sitting at the desk play into tight shoulders?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, again, part of sitting at the desk is I prefer to be people be slouchy and kind of using your arms to reach rather than just your elbows all the time. But I think that's, you know, we can't deny 8 hours at a desk all day is good for the body. And so I encourage people to, you know, get up, stand up. We think about, you know, oh, you're hungry, get a snack. Introduce movement snacks into your day. So this idea of like getting up and taking a few minutes to, you know, stretch out or go for a little quick walk. And don't just like, you know, there's this idea of something called, you know, sleep apnea, we all know, but email apnea. So imagine email apnea is this idea that like literally our brains go outside of our bodies and we're just so focused on what we're doing in the computer screen that we end up going into very exaggerated positions where our head is 17 inches in front of our face. And so like putting a little sticky on your computer, like, get up, buddy, or something, like, literally, or, you know, alarms, and just, like, shake out your body like a dog or whatever, you know? We need to introduce more, not every hour, but, like, every 20 minutes, just get up and move your body. And, again, like, in, you know, I have a lot of different exercises that I teach people, like, we'll call, like, you know, desk relieving stiffness tips and whatever to get people grooving throughout their whole day instead of being, okay, like, I'm only going to stretch at the end of the day. But if you just bake a bit more of this into your day-to-day, then you're going to feel, you know, a lot better after your workday.
Cool. So tell everyone where to find you. You've mentioned your YouTube channel a couple times.
Yeah, so the best places to find me are all going to be on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube at Ground Up Physio. So there's a foot in my logo. But yeah, Ground Up Physio is PHYSIO. The other thing that I've created is a online mobility program that people could fall in the comfort of their home. So if you're someone who feels like they've tried everything and been around the houses, I've packaged together the same exact exercises and system that I use with my one-on-one clients here in my clinic into something that you could do in the comfort of your home. It's like 15 to 20 minutes daily commitment. And it's going to teach you the same things that I'm discussing here, the principles of stacking, the principles of moving your body in 3D. And very quickly, you could get out of pain and start to tap into new, you know, get back to the things you love to do because I'm teaching you how to use your body again in the way that's designed to. So if people are looking for that or, you know, I would highly encourage them to check out, like, let's say on Instagram, you go to my bio and you'll find the program there. So it's really, you know, for anyone dealing with any foot, knee, hip or low back issues. But honestly, the thing, you know, I discussed this with the client today. Whether you're in pain, you're looking for injury prevention, or you're looking to improve your performance for your sport or just get more out of your body, it all comes back to movement efficiency. So if you move better and you're moving more efficiently, well, then all the parts work together and your knee or X body part will stop being in so much pain. Well, if you're moving more efficiently, then you'll get more out of your performance. So everything is, you know, movement quality is everything. And how you move is the way we get out of pain. It's not painkillers, that's masking the pain. It's not cortisone injections, that's masking the pain. We need to get to the root cause of the pain. And that's by optimizing the way that your body shows up in real life and every, you know, in your daily movements. And, you know, you'll be very happy to know that, like, you know, things can get better wherever you're at right now. If you, you know, work on chipping away slowly but surely, you know, again, I couldn't stand for barefoot for more than a few seconds. And now I go hiking barefoot. I own a clinic based off all my personal struggles. So, you know, anyone's body could change at no matter the age. It's just a matter of, you know, starting on your health. And I invite you to join along the journey with me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on the show. Everybody, check up Ground Up Physio, right? On YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the places. And then definitely his website, which, and your website is?
Well, if you go to groundupphysio.com, everything's the same.
Okay. Ground Up Physio. Yeah. Got it. And then so, and all of this. Okay. Yeah. And all of this will be on the show notes page, which lives at drlaramay.com/podcast. So thank you again. We appreciate your time and your expertise. And thank you for doing the work that you're doing and continue to help people actually get better.